A really big welcome to you. Again, if you don't know me, my name's David. I'm the minister here at Woodies. We're part of the team. It's great to be part of a big team. And I just thought I'd start this morning's service with a rather poor joke. And you may have heard it before, but if you hear it at 9:15, you will have, because I said it then as well. But what do you call a musician who breaks up with his girlfriend? Homeless. I say this, my son's a musician. I usually tell girls, never marry a musician. I usually say that. And I usually tell musicians, marry well. Because there's something about actually being in a relationship, being in a committed relationship, which can really sustain you when life has its ups and downs. And if you're a musician, and a struggling musician, life will have its ups and downs. I'm just putting it out there, by the way. But there's something about being in a relationship with someone who provides and nurtures, who cares for us, who loves us, that we're all allowed to find. And that is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. God wants us to be in a committed relationship with Him. And though life will give us ups and downs, if we're in a committed relationship with God, we will be in Him. Just like if you're married to someone, you're in a marriage. If you're committed to God, you're in Christ. And Christ has the capacity to keep you in this life and into eternal life. And that actually means we all get to win. Now, last month, we did a health series called Loser. And that's not, you know, if someone calls you a loser, that's not a great thing, is it? If people say, you're a bit of a loser. Probably when you're a teenager, your children will say that to you at some point. I don't know. But no, that's wrong. If you've got teenage children, if you've got a teenager, probably don't have too many children at that stage. But anyway, someone might call you a loser. It's not a compliment. But actually, in Bible terms, there's something about being a loser that helps us to be a winner. Because if we try and hold on to the life that we've got, our values, if we want to hold on to a life that puts me first, then actually life isn't going to work out too well. But if we're willing to lose that ambition of me on the center of my life and put someone else there, the Lord Jesus Christ, then actually we get to share in the victory of God. And we're following somebody who is prepared to lose everything, Jesus Christ, to lay down his life on the cross, which is to win us, actually, to win us for God, to be part of the kingdom of God. And as we follow Jesus, we're in a loser winner dynamic all the time. So we're going to be thinking this month actually about winning. What does it mean to win? And I'm going to read you, I want to ask you to think, what does it mean for you to win? And also, what does it mean for us to win? The church that is Woodlands. What constitutes a win for us at Woodies? Now, sometimes you don't know that you're in a race. Has anyone ever been for supper with me at ADH, my house, my community house? Okay, lots of you have been some of you have been for supper. You don't always know that you're in a race when you stand up at that mealtime. But I live in community, there are 22 of us, and I've learned that if you eat your dinner really quickly, you get around again, there will be seconds. So, you know, regular people don't realize they're in a race. So they're sat there, they're eating normally. I went, burr, 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 and then I'm back again. I've won. And actually, you might be here today and you just think, oh, it's church. I didn't realize I was in a race. But I actually think we are actually in something where there is a win-lose dynamic. And the Bible kind of gives us a picture really where we can gain a treasure that's greater than we could possibly hope for. Or actually, we can lose. We can lose it all. And more than that, we're in a world that's like that, where beyond the material reality of our life, there are spiritual powers at work. The power of goodness, the power of God himself. And also, a spiritual enemy that we have of ourselves. And actually, I'm someone who believes that. I really believe that really strongly. You probably remember, if you've been around Woodies for a little while, that last year I was highly impacted by a verse from the book of Acts, chapter 26, when the Apostle Paul was describing to King Agrippa, when he was on trial, why he was doing the things that he was doing. And he described how, when he was on his way to persecute Christians, he had an encounter with Jesus which changed his life. He was knocked off his donkey. He was blinded by a great light. He heard the voice of Jesus himself speaking to him. And not just speaking to him, but commissioning him. And he said that he was sent to take people from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, for the forgiveness of sins, and a place amongst those who are sanctified. That was the Apostle Paul's commission. That's what he was set to do. But my own conviction as I read those words afresh was, that wasn't just an isolated commission for the Apostle Paul. That was actually a commission for the Church of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has called his followers, his bride, to be people who do exactly that. To be on a mission. To be soul winners. To take people from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, and into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's the theme for today, soul winners. What does it mean to be a soul winner? Let me just read you one little verse from the book of Proverbs. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Soul winning. Now, I know that for Christians, the word evangelism, or even the word witness, is a bit of a funny word. And anybody relate to that? It can be a pressurizing word. It can be there's a duty for you to fulfill, and by the way, you're not very good at it, and you don't feel very comfy doing it. Is that right? Now, I know in my life, I've been involved in a fair bit of evangelism. I've been involved in church planting. I have, in my youth, been around this neighborhood knocking on people's doors. People don't seem to do that very much anymore, do they? I have done open-air services in Clifton Down Shopping Center with monotonous regularity. You know, back in the day, I'm talking a long time ago, actually, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And when I do that kind of thing, sometimes I'm really a bit uncomfortable, because for me it feels rude to impose my beliefs and agenda on other people. Does anyone ever relate to that at all? It feels a bit uncomfortable. They don't want to hear me say this kind of stuff. So that's awkward for me, you know. And sometimes as well, I think, what I want to say sounds like a formula. And life is more complicated than a simple formula, isn't it? People are struggling with all kinds of stuff, and it's being complicated. How am I going to share what I believe in a nutshell that's going to help people to get hold of it? So I'm someone who's felt a little bit awkward around what's called evangelism. However, I'm also somebody who really believes in it. And does it. To be honest, it's quite easy for me to share my faith with people for two reasons. People often, when they get to know you, say, where do you live and what do you do? They ask those kind of questions. I live in a community house with 22 people. It's a Christian community. That means I can't avoid talking about my faith. I mean, it's in there, isn't it? And, well, what do you do for a living? Well, I'm a pastor. Pastor? Anyway, so it's kind of, I reckon I've got some inbuilt advantages when it comes to talking about the things that motivate me as a follower of Jesus, because it's in my life, you know. But to be honest, I want to do that, and I want to do that for a number of reasons. First of all, I'm convinced of the good news of Jesus. I really am. I'm really convinced that the God who loves me and wants me to know him and makes it possible for me to know him, is the most important reality in my life. If everything else is shaken, that's the most important reality. And I don't believe I'm made just for short material life and then it's all over. I believe I'm an eternal being, that I've got a spirit that's going to go on. And that I need to know God to really be myself. I believe I'm like a light bulb that isn't really working until it's plugged into the power source. And then it can really be what it's meant to be. I believe that about me. And actually, I believe that about human beings. I believe human beings are made in the image of God. And they're made for God. And when they know God, they can be the best version of themselves that they can possibly be. But I also believe that there is an implacable spiritual enemy that wants to stop them being in a relationship with God and wants to dehumanize them, to make them the worst version of a human being they could possibly be. And I think that's a spiritual battle that I have been invited to join in with God's cause, to be part of his program for bringing his kingdom and his good news to planet Earth. And that informs my life. And actually, that is why Woodlands Church began. We didn't honestly begin Woodies because Bristol needed more churches for Christians. Because actually, there are loads of them. When we began, actually, the kind of whole thread goes back to Neil and Carrie sitting back there in the pillar, and 20 of us meeting in their living room, doing a little bit of a church plant, and doing that in Henley's, and then going down from there to here in 1995 when we bought this building. And we did that because we felt there are men and women and young people in Bristol who need people to share the good news with them and to create a community that they can belong to, where they can grow in their faith. And so from the very beginning, for us, it's a win. If we're going to be a winner, we're going to win when people who don't yet know Jesus find Jesus and become friends, a part of his family. And I just want to say to you, actually, you might be here today and you're thinking, actually, I feel a little bit uncomfy here because I'm not sure I'm one of the converted that you're talking to. I'm someone who's trying to work this kind of stuff out myself. I've not necessarily ticked all the boxes about what you guys believe. And if you are here, I want to say, first of all, thank you for coming. That's brave. Second of all, we're here for you. if that's who you are, then this exists for your benefit. We're so glad that you're here. That's a win for us. And what's more, if you're someone who wants to go on a spiritual journey and check out whether what I'm saying this morning is rubbish or true, and if you find it's true and become part of the family of God, then that will be a big win for us. How that makes sense. So what does it mean for us to be winners? When people find their way home to the Father, when people find a relationship with Jesus which is transformational, we love that. And one of the exciting things about working for this church is that we see that kind of thing happening all the time. We see it happening to people here. If I may be so bold, Lorraine, just to mention your name. Because it wasn't very long ago that this would have seemed very alien to you, wouldn't it? Yeah? And in a few weeks' time, you're going to get baptized. And that will be a public sign of a journey that you have been going on, of exploring faith. Is it true? Is God real? Can I know him? And all that kind of stuff. That's fair, isn't it? And so for us, I rejoice at that. That's a win. And when you get baptized, there's going to be lots of us cheering because we'll have seen the transformational power of God in your life. And, okay, so how, when we're into winning as a community, we need to be on a team in order to win. And some of you have been watching the rugby, reluctantly, I know. But England won yesterday, didn't they? And they won as a team. And maybe Argentina were a little bit unlucky to have a man sent off because it affected their ability to perform as a team. Right? And for us, if we're going to win, we need to be team. And team starts with, very simply, is that mission that I described a mission that we prioritize together Is it a priority for us? Now, actually, church has got all sorts of functions and all kinds of programs. We're here to nurture one another and to grow in the faith as disciples. We're here to practically care for one another and to look after people's emotional, physical, and mental health. We're here to do kind of good things in the city. We're here to have fun and to make some great worship music and to have football teams and, I don't know, a whole host of things. But actually, right at the priority of what we're about is this business of being a soul-winning church. And the people that God is going to use to do that will be you, far more than me. And it might look as if I've got the most important role because I get quite often to stand up in front of people and do what I'm doing this morning, which is to preach. But the most important role that happens is when regular Christian people are building bridges all over this city into people's lives where they can naturally be people that God can use to point the way to Him. And there are kind of two kinds of pointing the way to Jesus that people engage in. There's the come and see and go and tell pointing. Now, the go and tell is really reserved for the people who are in the first flush of really being in love with God. Hopefully that continues through life. The people who are evangelists and the people who've got very poor social skills. Those kind of people. You know? Those are and sometimes they all three go together. Go and tell us. You know, my friend and housemate, a colleague, Steve Ballard, he's a bit of an evangelist. And isn't he, April? That's the poor afflicted wife sits there. And Steve will come back home and say, "Oh, I had a great conversation today. I was in a coffee shop, coffee shop, and I was talking to the waitress. Said, you look like someone who might be interested in faith." He'll start, you know, have a conversation like that. Now, how many of us would feel comfortable doing that? There we are. So you just identify yourself as, if you identify yourself with that, you identify yourself as a passionate lover of Jesus, an evangelist, or someone with poor social skills. Anyway, but Steve kind of gets those conversations. And some of us do that kind of go and tell thing. To be honest, I used to go around Clifton knocking on doors with my wife, who's much better at this than I am, Tina. You think she's a little bit modest and retiring, but actually, she would knock on people's doors. She'd get invited in for a conversation. I'd be left on the doorstep. And if you've ever done this, the embarrassing thing, I think one of the more embarrassing occasions was when I rang on a doorbell, nobody answered. Rang on the next door person's doorbell, they both answered at once. You know, it's awkward. Anyway, so I've had the awkwardness and the humiliation. But I think it's much easier to be a come and see evangelist. And a come and see person is, you know, when we overlap life enough, we get to talk about who we are, what we do. And often people invite us to come and see. I get invited by my neighbour to go to concerts that he's playing his cello in. He just doesn't feel at all embarrassed about it. Yeah, he doesn't think, David might find it cringy. I'm not sure if he really likes classical music. He just does it. And it's all right for us to invite people to come and see what we're up to. To be honest, most of you find it easiest at Christmas to say come and see, don't you? Because it's kind of like it's out there. You know, Christmas, it's okay to talk about Jesus because it goes with the season. But I'd love it if every Sunday was a come and see Sunday. Just come along with it. Come and see where I go on a Sunday. Come and join in with me. You never have to come again, but actually I think it's fun. And probably the more confidence you have that this is a positive experience, the more open you'll be for doing that, won't you? And if you don't have confidence in it, I'd like to know why. And every now and then people do tell me things like, David, your sermons are boring. Oh, all right. So actually, to be honest, we've got to preach relatively interesting. Worship, it's got to be relatively something that isn't going to make our friends completely switch off from or run away from. Having, I don't know. So, but do tell us if there are things why you may not have confidence in what we are. But if you do have confidence, or maybe Alpha is something you have confidence in. You have confidence because you've got confidence in Rachel's ability to lead it. You may have confidence in it because you've been along. You may have confidence because you've heard the stories and you've seen the people getting baptized who talk about Alpha. But if we have confidence, we're more likely to say, come and see. You see, that verse I read from Proverbs, he who wins souls is wise. It does take a bit of wisdom to be involved in soul winning, doesn't it? We're called to be witnesses, but I think Jesus had a strategy. It's really interesting how he shares the gospel. He kind of does it a little bit incrementally, doesn't he? He tells a few stories, he starts a few teasers, he gets something going. And honestly, most of the time, we may need a strategy. Where does a strategy start? For us, one of our strategies is that we think it starts with prayer. And I don't know whether you've noticed this, but if you pray for people, you're more likely to find the opportunities arise to talk and share with people. Now, my colleague Rachel, who's just walking to the back because she's got a very weak bladder, and she does. She finds it hard to sit through a service. Honestly, she does. She's been launching something, encouraging us to pray for 3 people at 11:02 every day. Has anyone done that? Put your hand up if you've done that. Rachel, 2 of you have done that. You know, one of the people that Rachel's been doing that, and one of her friends said to her, oh, would it be all right if I come on Alpha? Is that right, Rachel? You didn't even invite her at that point, right? No? The person that Rachel was praying for said, can I come to the Alpha course that you're running? The person that Rachel's been praying for at 11:02, and it was at 11:02 that she knocked on the door and said, Rachel, can I come to Alpha? No, it wasn't. That was an exaggeration. But it's a good exaggeration. That would have been awesome, wouldn't it, if that had happened? Oh, I was just praying for you. No, anyway. So, but what I find is that when I'm praying for people, they're actually on my mind, and I'm looking for opportunities. So I reckon I'm partnering with the Holy Spirit in that. So what you could do is pray for people, couldn't you? That would be a start. And the second thing is, you could have a bit of space in your life for people. And I guess one of the big challenges for us as Christians is, have we got space in our lives for the people who don't yet know Jesus? And sometimes as a busy Christian, you're the person who's got least space because you're involved in all the church activities. And your good friends are already Christians. Yeah? So that's a challenge, is can I create some space intentionally to do life with people? And I reckon if you do life with people and you hang out with them long enough, something is going to spill over about this secret life that you've got, where you've got a faith, and when you gather with other people, you know, you find that. It's like you've got a friend who's in the recovery movement, and you find that after a while, oh, there's something, that, yeah, anyway. So, good. Honestly speaking, I could talk to you now about this for the next half an hour. But what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to just whiz through a very few little things just to reinforce the win, if I can, and then stop and have communion with you. Is that all right? But see if you can just take these on board. Why is seeing someone come to faith in Jesus a win? Here's some of my reasons. First of all, God likes it, because God's not willing for anyone to perish. That's a big verse, isn't it? God is not willing that anyone should perish. So I'm on God's side. It makes him happy. And also, if God's not willing for anyone to perish, but it does imply to me there is a potential that they do. So that feels kind of really important. And second of all, God has called us for this purpose. It's an answer to a prayer of Jesus. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus looks at a crowd of people and says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into that harvest field." That is a prayer of Jesus. Would you like to be an answer to the prayer of Jesus? Would you like to see the world as Jesus sees it? Do you want to get your vision lined up with his vision? Well, then there's a commission for you to be the answer to that prayer, just like the disciples who heard Jesus say that were sent out by him. And it wasn't the 12, actually, on this occasion in Luke 10. It was the 72. It was the kind of the regular guys, the people who didn't quite make it into the 12. Jesus sent them out. Third of all, he who wins souls is wise. There's a health about doing it. And the kind of church, the kind of community that wins people is the kind of church that looks like it was designed to look like in the first place. Because in nature, healthy things reproduce themselves. And that's true spiritually. Healthy church and healthy Christians reproduce themselves. And one of the markers of our health is our people being added to our number. It really is it's the truth. And actually, to get to the kind of church that is that kind of church probably means we have to deal with some of the kind of religious rubbish that makes churches toxic. You have to get rid of things like disunity, for instance. A church that wins people is like to be a loving church. Anyway, why is it a win? It's a defeat for Satan in the kingdom of darkness when someone comes to faith in Jesus. They've come from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. It's like someone being rescued from a kidnap gang. It's like someone being rescued from people traffickers. It is. Satan is a soul trafficker. And when someone's rescued from his kingdom, it's a win for the kingdom of God, and it's a win for us who take part in it. And also, we're enriched by someone joining the family. If you've wanted a kid and you get one, there's going to be tears and sleepless nights, but there's going to be joy. You're enriched by new life. And we are. We're enriched by all the people that come into our church family. We're enriched by having Lorraine and Ash, you know, in the family. It's great. And that's exciting. Okay, so five ways that we win people. We win some by being winsome. You know that phrase, they are winsome. It's a bit of an archaic word, isn't it? But it means that they're just kind of likable, attractive. And honestly, we do. If we're a positive surprise, if we're winsome, if the way we treat people is good, that's going to help. If we've got the confidence to set it to come and see, that's great. If we make the prayer part of our life, that's great. If we build bridges with people, bridges of relationship, actually, we have food with people, we play sport with people, we child mind for people, whatever it is, it helps. And also, if we've got spiritual vitality, your spiritual life will overspill. And this isn't designed to be done us alone. It's designed to be done because we're full of God, full of the Holy Spirit. And actually, that's why for us, when we gather together, we're not just a kind of soul-winning community. We're a let's-be-filled-with-God-spirit community. Let's be a rejoicing, going deeper into him. Let's pursue God with all our hearts. Let's find the joy of fellowship with our Father in heaven. Let's be that kind of church. But as we come, you know, just want to say to you guys, particularly if you're new, you're checking out Woodlands, you're thinking, what is this church around? What does it mean to belong to Woodies? One of the kind of mantras that we've said over the years is, my ideal, actually, is for every believer, everyone who's part of our church family here. Each one of us is a witness. Every one of us is a minister. And every one of us cares for the poor. More of that as we go through our series on winning this week. But let me pray. Father God, we recognize that we're an imperfect mirror. for the loveliness that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and to yourself, God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But a mirror we are for sure. And I want to pray, Lord God, that you would, by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, shine the mirror that's our lives and make us look lovely because people can see your reflection in us on our own and when we gather. And we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to be your witnesses. Amen.